Right now on VFN TV, Congressman Jeff Miller is confronting and speaking to the Secretary of Defense about ISIS, about Islam, and what our president said on foreign soil. Also, we're going to be talking about the Queen, Queen Elizabeth. Her 90th birthday is coming up, and the book is being has been written about her. It's called The Queen and the King She Serves, a capital K King. Very excited about that. And North Korea's president or leader or king or whatever you call Kim Jong-un, he is actually threatening America. And we have Isaiah Ramos, who's going to be sharing a prophetic dream where God spoke specifically about Kim Jong-un in Washington, D.C. and the White House. And we have to pay close attention when God is speaking, and we're seeing it come to pass right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
I saw in a dream young people, I would say teenagers, maybe 20-year-olds, and they were crying. God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
And the kids that have to go to war don't want to go. They're not ready. They're not ready mentally, physically, let alone spiritually. They were crying as draft was being reinstated, and it was a time of great confusion.
The next 8 years in America will be worse than the last 8 years.
Chuck Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America's going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? You're about to see all that again. As soon as that was said, that America's going to go back to the 1960s. And let me tell you something, the 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, assassination of John F. Kennedy, you had the riots, we had Vietnam War. We had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America. And it's like, that's where, when that statement was made.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do. We just go, well, you're kind of a hothead. We'll kill you or ignore you. And then 1,000 years later, we say, man, Isaiah was a great guy.
He was
just wonderful.
Holy Spirit said this year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. As a matter of fact, a phrase will be repeated over and over on the lips of people of many nations. You will hear it said, I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time. You're going to see, as men speak of pockets of selective judgment, so likewise there is pockets of selective revival. And it will be known as the rural revival.
If my people, who are called by my name, will do these things, I'll heal their land. And he's never needed a majority. That's what I keep telling people. We don't have to get 51% of Americans doing this before God can move. He has always worked through the remnant.
He's not an elephant. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ, because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
You're going to start seeing more miracles outside the church than you see inside it.
You don't know what to do. You just see some activity and you think, I want to go there. You know, and then you get there, since you don't know about being discipled, you don't know about connecting, you don't know about your purpose, nobody's teaching you that. But they show up and they bring trouble because they don't realize if you're going there and that's where God's called, you need to be there.
Today is a divine exchange and my people will no longer align themselves and agree with the enemy.
A portal for angelic visitation would come in that could not be stopped in this nation.
And the Lord said, I'm raising up columns. I'm causing alignment to occur. And I will be sending forth column after column
flashing to you even now as you hear this?
Like, we're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so, you know, where are we? Where are you connected at? Where are you related at?
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
I would say to you, this is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
Coming together is so important. Can you imagine this thing kick in and you're not even connected to one person?
Phase two of the Third Great Awakening has begun.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Congressman Jeff Miller, he is a congressman from the state of Florida, and he represents the panhandle area of Florida. But he is standing up quite often and representing America, representing the VA. You see him fighting for behalf of all of our veterans in America and having good services, and he's doing a great job in that. But you know, you want to find out what your congressman's saying in regards to ISIS. Our president went on foreign soil and said, you know, things about our Congress that made Congress look bad. And he said specifically, according to Congressman Jeff Miller, that our president said that Congress is talking about the president is saying that Congress says we're actually fighting against Muslims, and they specifically say, they say in this interview, you'll see him in this interview, Ash Carter, that he has no record of that Congress ever saying that. It's like our president went across in foreign soil and started that. As a matter of fact, this is an interview with Congressman Jeff Miller speaking to Secretary of Defense Ash Carter about ISIS in this issue. Let's take a look.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Secretary, who does it feel like we're at war with? ISIL and its accompanying, and by the way, I wasn't speaking of myself, and I don't use this word lightly. I'm talking to the troops who are involved in it, Congressman. So I think that's who feels that they're at war.
No, I understand, but who's the enemy?
The enemy is ISIL and associated groups, extremists.
Have you ever heard any member of Congress say we're at war with Muslims?
No.
Why would the president on foreign soil last week say that, quote, GOP's rhetoric has become the most potent recruitment tool for the militant group? Why would he say that?
I can't say, I'm not familiar with that quote by the president. What I do know the president has said in the past, which is obviously true, is that we recognize that this is not Islam per se that stands behind the Islamic State. It is a particular group of very radical extremists. And that's an important distinction to make. I've always heard the president make that distinction.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I don't even think he uses the word radical extremists, but I think it's pretty disingenuous when he makes this into a political football, using language on foreign soil that has never been said for political purposes. This committee tries not to do that, and I think the president should do the exactly same thing. He also said that we're gaining, and you did as well, that we're gaining back ground, that ISIS has taken, and that it's diminishing their recruiting capacity, implying that it's harder for them to recruit fighters. So my question is: Is it a bigger recruiting tool for attacks like Paris or expanding their territory? Because the president has said and others have implied that as the area shrinks, it's harder for them to recruit and they are losing fighters.
I'll start and then the chairman can pitch in. I do think that attacks like Paris are aimed at and probably have some effect on recruiting to the cause people worldwide who observe that. Young radicals, we've had some in our own country who have watched the television, been on the internet. Within Syria and Iraq, recruiting for fighters on the ground there, we are trying to dry up that supply of recruits, both by making it harder to get into Syria and by destroying them when they're there, as well as the ultimate, which is to create local forces and a local system of governance that is more attractive to people than joining these violent extremists. Chairman?
Congressman, I believe that what ISIL is trying to do is again, advance a narrative of inevitable success and invincibility. And so I'd expect that they will do two things. One, continue to grab territory and establish the caliphate, and also conduct external operations that will incentivize others to join the movement and also attract resources to the movement.
General, which do you think they will focus on? Will they do it simultaneously, regaining territory or increasing broader attacks here and other places?
Congressman, I think they're the ultimate opportunists, and they will take advantage of all of the above whenever the opportunity presents itself.
Thank you. Yield back.
When you think about Congress, it's so important to understand, because this has been taken away from us. That's you. That's your representative. When somebody appears before Congress, General, Secretary of Defense, and Congressman Jeff Miller questions them, that's you questioning them. This is representative government. That's not that thing in Washington, D.C. He is calling them to account and saying, listen, where did you hear anything about, and he's talking about in Congress, people that are, they're all politicians. If you're a congressman or a senator, they ran for office. Congressman Jeff Miller is of the 1st District, Congressional District in Florida, and he is speaking on your behalf, and he's asking the question, when did you ever hear this? And he said, we haven't heard that. And he's talking about, why would you want our president, why would he say that on foreign soil? And he's saying, you know, I don't know. But the thing about it, we're all human beings, it's logical. It's like, he's the one that's stirring that up. And it's like, what are you doing in the context? And I appreciate Congressman Jeff Miller taking his time to be able to ask those questions right there. And I appreciate, you know, Secretary of Defense, Ash Carter, you know, standing up and just being real about this whole thing. But the truth is, you know, we got to come together as a country. We got to come together under, you know, e pluribus unum. Though we're many, we're one. When people start taking apart our United States Constitution, we start taking apart everything, because that is the very thing that says Washington, D.C. can exist. It's the very thing that says we can have a president, a Congress, a Senate, Supreme Court justices, equal powers of justice, that Florida or Georgia or Alabama could be represented in Washington, D.C. That's all Constitution. And so when somebody begins to make war against our own fundamental principles, like going to a foreign soil and stirring up the enemies of our country, it's not a good thing. But I thank God, and I want to encourage you to support those who represented you, like Congressman Jeff Miller, and thank him for taking that stand to be able to ask the tough questions, because ISIS has been spreading around the globe, and we're finding out some specific things that are taking place in the Middle East. It seems like somebody had some plans for that, almost like they want to be able to take down and topple the leadership of Syria, as we'll be talking about in a future program, how Turkey and Saudi Arabia and a lot of the Arab nations are coming together to be able to, not to destroy ISIS, but to be able to topple Assad in Syria. What's really going on? What's happening? Is the world being organized with these Saul Alinsky-type tactics? It really looks like it. But I want to encourage you. Many are the plans in man's hearts, but it's God's plans that always prevail. And speaking of that, we're going to go right to, when we get back from this break, right to England with the Queen, Queen Elizabeth, the Queen of England. She's going to her, she's about to have her 90th birthday. Think about that, 90 years as Queen. But there's a book written about her, the Queen, it's entitled The Queen and the King, that she serves, and that's a capital K King. Is that not awesome? Make sure you join us after the break.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
Keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis. You know, it doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com. And just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you, too, to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then Green Room. There's, you know, some interviews that we had that we asked other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, you know, in the Green Room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says. When you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. The book is called The Servant Queen. It's Queen Elizabeth's 90th birthday.
Yes.
And the book is The Servant Queen and the King, capital K King, that she serves. That's very exciting to hear about her acknowledging God, or at least people writing the book about it. And she wouldn't support it, you know, if she didn't approve of it.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But let's take a look right now about what's taking place on her 90th birthday.
She's been around my entire life. Her head is on every stamp. Yes, you guessed. It's the Queen. What an amazing example of someone who lives out her faith in Christ. Next year, 2016, it's the Queen's 90th birthday. Sunday the 12th of June, she's invited 10,000 people to have lunch in the Mall. That's the date when we want churches together within their community to celebrate the birthday of our Queen. Villages, towns, and cities come together. So for that, HOPE, London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, and the Bible Society are producing a souvenir book of 64 pages, and it will catalogue our servant queen and her faith journey and the way that has impacted everything she's done as a servant queen. What we'd love you to do is to think, how could we, within our community, use this particular resource? It will be under £1, and it will be available early part of New Year. We'll have a website that will enable all of the resources that you could do to do stuff within your community. There'll be lessons and assemblies put together by Scripture Union, and a school's resource for children to link up with this as well. This is a great way that we as the church can celebrate her life. Start planning now. Work with other churches within your community to put on the most amazing birthday party to celebrate a follower of Christ and to celebrate in your community the Queen's 90th birthday.
That we just want to wish the Queen a happy 90th birthday, and we're very excited about Jesus Christ being honored at this point in her life. Listen, North Korea, you know, sometimes people, we just kind of, it's just North Korea. They have nuclear weapons in North Korea. This is where your cell phones, your televisions and all this LG comes from, you know, South Korea. And they are getting tons of support from China. That's how they are. They wouldn't be able to be sustained, reports are, without China's support coming in.
You're talking about North Korea, right?
Yeah, North Korea. And Russia as well, participating in their survival. And so it's not just North Korea making these threats. They're making threats right now. And I want us to talk about these threats. And at the same time, talk about, you know, prophetically what God has spoken about Kim Jong-un, the president or the leader of North Korea. What's he saying?
Well, this is the article's put up by Breitbart News, and it basically says North Korea threatens U.S. mainland in response to the largest ever joint drill on the border. That's the United States coming together with South Korea, I believe, for 300,000 troops. But this is what the article says. The doom of the United States has been sealed. So reads a statement.
Okay, say it again. Now, this is what they're saying about
the
Kim
United
Jong-un.
States.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
The doom of the United States has been sealed.
It's a threat.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been sealed, they're talking about.
Right. Okay. Absolutely. So reads a statement on North Korea's official state media outlet warning that there will be an attack on the U.S. mainland if American and South Korean forces complete a military drill simulating the collapse of the Kim Jong-un regime in March. All the service personnel and people of the DPRK are ready to immediately and mercilessly punish without the slightest leniency, tolerance, and patience anyone provoking the dignified Supreme Headquarters even a bit.
So they know that if this exercise goes on, that you're preparing for my demise, the destruction of the leadership of North Korea, then America's attack, it's sealed, its doom is sealed. And it's like, you know, maybe they are preparing for the demise of North Korea. It'd be good for the leadership to change there. I don't know which hands it would go into. But the thing that bothers me about this particular threat, one is they have nuclear powers. They have missiles, I believe, that can reach California.
Which is a very big deal. I mean, there's a whole thing we're trying to get out of the hands of Iran.
Nuclear. Yes, nuclear.
And the worst thing you want is nuclear weapons in the hand of someone who is completely unstable.
And we showed you exercises off the California coast where we had our military taking, firing missiles on the West Coast, getting ready potentially to be able to probably deal with something like that. But what was strange was most Americans didn't realize that was a missile coming potentially right to you. They're just kind of filming it for their Twitter accounts and their Facebooks and their cell phones.
Look at that.
Oh, what's this? I don't think this is good, honey. And they're filming it the whole time. And it's a missile. And it's like,
do you smell that?
And it just really makes me think about a prophetic dream that God gave to Isaiah Ramos. And what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick commercial. We got this offer for you. And we're going to come right back. And you're going to hear from Isaiah Ramos as he shares about Kim Jong-un, the United States, Washington, D.C., President Barack Obama. And what does all this have to do with each other with this threat? We'll get back from the break.
We're so excited about this offer we have available for our VFN TV partners. For your partnership for any amount whatsoever, we have this offer. We'll send to you DVD or online where you can watch it. It's called One Thing in 2016. Offer 2001 is learning the keys to success, prosperity, and peace no matter what or who may come your way. This is so important to be able to keep your peace and focus on the Lord, just like David did. When all these things were happening against King David, he was just doing his job, but an entire government was coming against him led by Saul. Guess what he did? He focused on the one thing. This is an encouraging word. We have it for you for any gift whatsoever. Just go to VFNTV.com, upper right-hand corner, click on partnering, or you can actually call 844-408-3688 or write to VFNTV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. One thing in 2016. God bless.
This
is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Your daughter will inevitably come home one day declaring that she's in love. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and how you respond, particularly to your teen daughter's declarations of love, well, that's important. And here's teen expert Darlene Brock explaining.
I don't think you diminish those emotions. I mean, they're 14 years old and they don't know what love means. Absolutely not. So you talk about it. What's he look like? Who is he? Why do you think you love him? What's special about him? Because at that point, you want to start establishing what's special about a boy that makes them worthy of her love. You know, not just is he cute and he skateboards well, but more, you know, he's nice to the teacher. He's nice to his mommy. And ask those kind of questions because those are the things that matter.
Hear more trusted advice for your journey as a mom or a dad at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news, you need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We have Isaiah Ramos with us right now because I wanted Isaiah to be here. Isaiah is an intern at VFN TV, and we're talking about Kim Jong-un with North Korea, and God gave you a dream, and this prophetic dream, you know, you shared it at one time, but now you're looking at, mm-hmm. they're making a threat.
Yes.
And they have nuclear capabilities, and it seems they were able to do some serious things to America already, according to reports. They attacked Sony and those type of things, but now they're threatening a physical attack on America. Well, listen to this prophetic dream that was given to Isaiah. Isaiah, how you doing?
Doing good.
So glad to have you on the program and taking this moment, and I appreciate what you're doing as an intern.
Thank you.
But talk to us. I mean, what was this dream about, this particular dream that you had with Kim Jong-un? You didn't know who Kim Jong-un was at the moment, so talk to us.
Okay, so in the beginning of the dream, I was hanging out with my friends, mm-hmm. and Jonathan and Christian were there. So we were just fooling around.
Just two of your friends.
Mm-hmm. And we looked into this garage, and
so there's like a house with a garage on it, or yes. some building or something with a garage?
We were in this neighborhood, uh-huh. and we saw this house, and we looked in under the garage.
So like a door, you picked it up mm-hmm. and all that, and kind of looked inside. Okay.
Yes. And we saw something, like a map or something, like papers and a TV screen mm-hmm. over there. So I just kind of got scared, and we just walked away.
So what did you see? You saw a TV screen?
I saw a TV screen and papers on the table.
On the table, okay. Okay.
And when I went to the street, they catched up with me.
They caught up with you? This particular, who was there? Did you see people there when you were in this garage?
No, I didn't see anybody, but
you just knew in the dream.
Yes,
all of a sudden. Okay.
And I went to the street, and they catched up to me.
They caught up to you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then the translator was there, and then mm-hmm. Kim Jong-un was there. And
so wait a minute. So all of a sudden in your dream, this one that's making this threat right now,
was there. Mm-hmm. So Kim Jong-un and his translator was there.
Yes.
To be able to make sure you could hear what was going on.
Yes.
Okay, what happened then?
So the translator asked me, did I see anything? And they said, do you swear on your God that you didn't see anything? And I said, I saw something. I can't do that. So they told me, they spoke to the Kim Jong-un spoke to the translator, and I said, and he said that we're going to take you and we're going to abuse you.
So they're going to, he's doing that right now. He's abusing Christians there and yes. gulags and those type of things. So, okay. So he's threatening you because you yes. looked at this.
Yes.
If you don't tell me, why was he threatening you?
Because I saw some papers and a TV screen.
In that garage, whatever that was, you saw yes. his plans.
Yes.
Okay.
So I went to the White House and all of a sudden Christian's not there.
Well, did you run to the White House? Were you running from him or?
Yes, I was running. I was running and then me and Jonathan ran to the White House.
So when this threat on your life was happening,
mm-hmm.
you start running in a dream, of course, the way they work is you actually ran all the way to the White House.
Correct.
Okay. Where the president lives.
Yes.
Okay.
So as we got to the president's house, we were in the front door and then I see a car coming, pulling up.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw that it was coming.
Uh-huh.
And then I got scared. So me and Jonathan hurried up and opened the door.
Do you know who was in the car?
Yes. I knew in my spirit that it was Kim Jong-un coming.
Okay.
So then
Kim Jong-un was at the White House.
Yes.
So they got this threat going on today. It seems close to what your dream was.
Yes.
Okay.
So we walk in and we see a whole bunch of people with monitor screens and they're all talking demanding things. And I knew that they were trying to protect the president.
Uh-huh.
So then we walk into this room and then Jonathan's not there anymore. So
right.
he's mm-hmm. not there with me anymore. Mm-hmm. It was kind of as if they were taking us one by one, taking us out one by one.
So all of a sudden he's disappeared, but you're still in the White House
yes.
in this dream where the president is and the people that are trying to protect the president.
Yes. Okay. And I walk into this room and the president's there and he's sitting on a couch or something and I see his face and he looks very scared.
President Barack Obama, you're looking at him. He's sitting on a couch and he looks very scared. Now, Kim Jong-un is outside the White House still.
Yes.
And he's fearful. North Korea basically is outside the White House and we got this threat going on right now. Okay, and so what's happening with the president?
So he's scared, and he looks at me, and he tells me, help me get out of this window.
President Barack Obama said, help me get out this window.
Yes. Okay. So I lift up the window, and I help him out, and then he runs away, and he leaves me there.
The president left you?
Yes.
Wow. And so he was looking for a way out. He found a way through that window. You helped him get out, and then he just left.
Yes.
Well, when you think about this, I wanted him to be able to share that because you're looking at this threat. The Lord spoke. He says, he lets us know what's going to happen before they happen. It's called, being prophetic and all. And when God revealed this at the time, it didn't seem like, what could North Korea do? But since then, they've attacked with, a cyber attack on Sony. That brought more people to the White House and that business attack than it did with the beheading of James Foley. It was amazing what took place with when business is under attack versus, human beings being under attack. But when you look at this, this is a significant threat. You're thinking nuclear weapons, nuclear capabilities. You're preparing in South Korea for my downfall. If you do this drill, like the article says that Breitbart writes about, that then this fate for America is doomed. And you're thinking, what's going on? Well, there's some sort of plan. I mean, if this prophetic dream is accurate, there's something going on. And what happened was, more than likely, when Isaiah in his dream looked at the plan, they didn't want anybody to see the plan going on. Well, you have to ask yourself, where did nuclear weapons come from in North Korea? Well, if you go back to President Bill Clinton, it happened during his administration. And the very same one, reportedly, that negotiated North Korea not having nuclear weapons is the very same person that negotiated for Iran not having nuclear weapons. It's the very same person. Of all the 7 billion people on the face of the earth, they picked the very same person that helped negotiate the deal so that North Korea would not have any nuclear weapons. And they have them. Believe it, reportedly coming from some of the stuff coming from Russia. But one of the things that Michael Bodia, Michael Bodea, a minister in the Lord, saw in this particular vision, this prophetic vision was, early on, and we talked about it on VFN TV, was that the president of Russia and the leader of North Korea and China's leader, they came together and they made a covenant. And the covenant that they made was against the dollar, against the economy of America. And they said, why should the dollar be the dominant currency in the world? And they decided that they were going to deal with that. Well, North Korea is so small, unfed. It's a puppet, if you would, of some other forces, which would be China and potentially Russia, which means if Russia wants to have some sort of proxy-type war with America and take our economy down, which, by the way, reports are our leaders are trying to take down Russia's economy, then North Korea could be the very one to do it. We need to pray that that whole regime changes in North Korea. We need to pray for the Korean people that salvation and revival would come to this oppressed people. It's the darkest country on the face of the earth, by the way. The darkest country on the face of the earth. And pray that this doesn't happen like we saw. But it just kind of gives us a little warning about what's taking place. And just sometimes God tells us so we can pray that it wouldn't happen or wouldn't take place. So we're going to be talking about, when we get back from this break, about you know, racial reconciliation, you know, what God wants us to do as Christians, as a new nation in Christ, a new ethnos in Christ, that God has called us to go to all the nations and to win them to the Lord. And yet the enemy divides and divides and divides, you know, on many different reasons. And right now, I think anything that can be divided has been divided in America. But one area is on race, ethnicity. And God wants us to come together. And not only that, we're going to get back from the break. We're going to see over 3+ million men in Washington, D.C., repenting for the racism that is taking place in this nation. It's going to bless your heart. Make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is, you know, you think about ever since John, hey, John.
Hey.
Welcome back to the program. But, you know, when Jesus was speaking, and it's written about in the Gospel of John, John chapter 17, verse 23, he's praying for unity, for us to come together. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, let's just get unified. Just get unified. But there's something about authentic. I mean, everybody's craving today that are really involved authenticity. You know,
yes.
Right? And just being really one. You know, Jesus wasn't one because with the Father because he forced himself to be one with the Father. He was one because he loves the Father, right? And so, and the Father loves the Son, and he wants us to experience that. So unity that counts is done on love. The fact that you actually love, you want to be with someone, we're not doing God a favor. It's like, okay, I'm going to go over to such and such, and, you know, we're different, you know, nationalities, we're different ethnicities, and so, you know, I'll just go, you know,
do this thing.
Yeah, I'll go eat with Greg, right? Yeah. I'll eat on his dishes or whatever they're going to eat on my, stuff's clean, I just get washed it, you know, type stuff.
You use the same soap, you know.
Yeah, same soap. Right? And so, right?
Crazy.
And so, he says that one of the signs of the times, the last days, that is that nation will rise against nation. That word comes from ethnos. That word would be ethnos will rise against ethnos, which is nation or ethnic group rising against ethnic group. But then you have the church. That's not us. That's not who, you know, that's what the world's going to be doing. So if we're worldly, we'll be taking on those same characteristics. Mm-hmm. If we say we're the church and we're not the church, we'll be just like that. you know, ethnos against ethnos, racist against racist. And it's amazing. You know, you can't say it doesn't exist because it exists. It's a spirit of racism. But when the Lord says, I want to make of you a new ethnos, a new nation in which we become one in him. We deny ourselves, pick up a cross, and follow the Lord. And so when you see issues that are taking place in America and the world's trying to figure it out, and I see the church being really critical about some of the things that are taking place, but if you've got a blind mind, if you can't see the light, what God says, you know, the light comes into darkness and it shines, it's the light of mankind, but you can't comprehend it, that supposedly if you're a child of the light, you can actually see what's going on and realize that's people that can't see trying to walk out a path that they can't find. And I think about this, that the church has the answer. The true church, the church actually listens and abides and follows and hears the voice of Jesus Christ, has the answer to all these problems, but definitely the answer to racism. It's called repentance, you know, forgiveness, and coming together and dwelling together in unity, really having a love towards the other. I think about it too. It's almost like a dysfunctional family if we don't deal with that. And that's what T.D. Jakes talks about when he's asked the question about Ferguson. When you got statistics that line up with the fact that if I happen to be, you know, BWI, black while driving, I'm going to get a ticket. I'm going to get a ticket, 68% chance more that I'm going to get a ticket than if you're WWI, I guess, white while you're driving.
B.
Yeah, whatever the thing is like, that's something wrong with that, because God is a just God. He's into fair scales. And you're only okay with that if you think that I'm lesser than you, therefore I should have a higher probability of being treated worse than you. Versus like, hey, I wouldn't want my mother to be treated like that. I don't want you to be treated like that. But listen what T.D. Jakes says about it, because we're going to go after that in a moment, to over 3 million men in Washington, D.C., with Promise Keepers, where they prayed specifically, repented for racism in the church. As a matter of fact, let's go to T.D. Jakes now.
The church needs to be leading the way in this conversation.
Where is the church?
The church is totally silent about race. We are ourselves dysfunctional in our ability. We're family, but we're a dysfunctional family because we cannot talk about the elephant in the middle of the room.
Right.
And until we do, then the people in the street are taking up the conversation. And I think that they are God's judgment on a silent church.
Oh.
So you're looking at that it's this dysfunctional family. You know, if we, you know, I struggle with the fact of saying, if you don't love me, you don't know God. Because the Word of God says, if you say you love God who you can't see, and you don't love your brother, so to acknowledge somebody is a fellow believer in Jesus Christ, and you don't love them, he says that you're a liar.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got to get that. We got to look at that square in the eye.
That's real.
That's real, and that really will confront us to the fact of saying, "I've got to get love in my heart for my brother." And so, it can be a dysfunctional family, and we do have issues. I know all that, but the truth is, if hate is in my heart towards my brother or my sister for whatever reason, and including race, and I say I love God, that statement, I love God, is a lie. That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. In 1 John, he's talking about that. Mm-hmm. He says, if you say that you love God who you can't see, but you hate your brother that you can see, then you're a liar. And so I don't want to be a liar. I want to love my brother. I want to love my sister. And think about it. You want to see revival take place. You want to see the Great Awakening just fan the flames of Great Awakening. That's what Azusa Street was about. Azusa Street was about all the nations, ethnicities coming together, men and women and all the different races in 1906, mind you, and God broke out and touched the world. Well, this right now, this is 3 million men, and we had a chance to be there in that crowd. We're buried in there, our faces down to the soil of the mall in Washington, D.C., and you could hear a pin drop as we were praying and asking God to forgive us for the historical sin of racism against all races, and asking God to restore us and to bring us back to a place again. It's just so powerful. Just join with us as we close out with over 3 million men leading us in repentance towards the racism. Let's go now.
Hallelujah.
Lord, as an Anglo, I'm really embarrassed and ashamed by what I've heard, because it's true. And I can't speak for all of my people group. But Lord, I just take this position and ask any of my brothers who are Anglos to join me. And Lord, I confess that we are an arrogant people, that we have deeply wounded African American and Jewish and Native American and Hispanic friends in the story of this land. That we, even unconsciously, the way we stand, the way we talk, the way we think about ourselves, project an incredible sense of superiority about everything. We don't even see it. And Lord, I just confess it. I had to live in the black community myself for about 4 years to even start seeing myself and the way we wound by our attitudes. Lord, have mercy on us, because we brought such pain into this land. And Lord, not only are we arrogant, but in the story of the land, we've been a greedy people. We've had a love of money. Because of our love of money, we've broken treaties with Native Americans, hundreds of treaties. Our forefathers enslaved Africans, rejected Asians, exploited Hispanics, we're still doing that, excluded Jews. And Lord, these were sins in the church, not just in the nation. And Lord, identify with them. The root things have all been in my own heart. And I ask for your forgiveness, Lord. My people and my children are cursed because of this. We know the victimizer becomes a greater victim than the victim because of your judgment. We apologize to you, Lord. In our place of authority and privilege, we have misrepresented your character and your nature. We have abused power. Lord, have mercy upon us. And Lord, we recognize you as the only one in authority, the privileged place of fatherhood over this land. And we humble ourselves, Lord. This is your nation, not our nation. The future of this nation belongs to you. You laid the foundations, not us. Lord, have mercy upon us, Lord. Lord, have mercy upon us. And I ask my friends, my brothers, we ask you forgiveness for our pride and our greed, for our arrogance, our injustice, our abuse of power. Please forgive us. Please forgive us. We have sinned against you in a way that we're barely beginning to understand. And we invite the conviction of God to roll down upon us. We who haven't believed we are racists, yet we're all racists. We've got to begin with that point of confession. We confess that to you, Lord. We all have a preference for and a pride concerning our own culture. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us, Lord. Show us our hearts. Show us our hearts and cleanse us, Father.
John, I accept your forgiveness. As the son of a sharecropper and the son of a former slave, I accept your forgiveness. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each one to our own way. But the Lord laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. And so I come, and I come and I accept it. And now, Lord, I come and for my own sin of reaction to racism and bigotry. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me and to forgive my own brothers out there, my own black brothers who have become victims and using that victimization as an excuse for not being good husband, not taking care of their family, fathering all of these children, but not taking care of them. And I come, Lord, and ask that my brothers and sisters, my brothers particular, to confess their sin, their sin of neglect, their sin of judging, prejudging. And so, Lord, I come and ask you to forgive us. And then, Lord, you've said that if we confess our sin, that you are faithful and that you are just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I pray that we might leave this place with a clean conscience to know that our sins have been forgiven and that we as black and white, Jew and Gentile, Asians and Latinas, that we can join hands together and sing as Dr. Martin Luther King said, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Lord, help us to have a new beginning in our nation and forgive us that we might join hands together. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level. Linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.